Tribeca,
the podcast for London lovers, Anglophiles, and critical believers. RevLab. Guten Tag, liebe Podcast-Community, und willkommen zu einer neuen Episode von More Tea Vicar, der Podcast für London-Liebhaberinnen, Menschenfreunde, Glaubensinteressierte und Geschichtsfans direkt aus der britischen Hauptstadt. Ich bin Carla Maurer, Pfarrerin an der Schweizer Kirche in London, und ich rede mit Menschen, die im Grossstadtdschungel leben und überleben. Mein heutiger Gesprächsgast ist Emily Rose Simons. Sie ist Venue-Managerin an der Schweizer Kirche in London. Und als Venue-Managerin koordiniert sie unseren Kirchenkalender, schaut, dass die Kirche immer in einem super Zustand ist, setzt Verträge für Vermietungen auf, zum Beispiel wenn wir London Fashion Week bei uns haben, eine Ausstellung oder eine Tanzklasse, und schaut auf so wichtige Details wie WC-Papierversorgung oder Hygienezertifikat für die Küche. Mit Emily Rose rede ich heute aus mehreren Gründen. Zum Beispiel hat sie mir erzählt, wieso es für ihre Rolle als Venue-Managerin wichtig ist, dass sie jüdisch-religiös aufgewachsen ist. Und als geborene Londonerin hat sie die Megastadt quasi im Blut. Und wir hören von ihr, wie so eine Kindheit in London wirklich ist. Und dann hat Emily Rose noch eine Karriere vorzuweisen, die gar nicht typischer kann sein für London. Sie ist nämlich Musical-Autorin. Und mit Musicals habe ich persönlich ja so ein bisschen eine heimliche Liebesbeziehung. Ihr kennt das sicher. Es gibt doch so Geschichten aus dem eigenen Leben, die einem auch nach Jahren oder Jahrzehnten noch ein bisschen peinlich sind zum Erzählen. Und zum Thema Musical möchte ich euch jetzt genauso eine aus meinem eigenen Leben berichten. In meinem ersten Jahr an der Kante St. Gallen haben wir im Deutschunterricht einen Vortrag halten. Das Thema haben wir ganz frei wählen. Es ist so ein bisschen darum gegangen, dass man die anderen Klassenkameraden besser kennenlernt. Ich bin heim und habe dann mit meiner Mutter so ein bisschen darüber nachgedacht, über was ich reden in diesem Vortrag. Und ich hatte schon damals einen recht ausprägten Sinn für Gerechtigkeit und für das Geschehen in der Welt. Und so sind wir darauf gekommen, dass ich ja über den Konflikt in Ex-Jugoslawien reden könnte. Aber über Nacht habe ich mir das dann nochmal anders überlegt und habe das Thema gewechselt. Ich war als Teenager nämlich ein totaler Musical-Fan. Darum habe ich dann statt der Krieg in Ex-Jugoslawien mein Lieblingsmusical «Grease» gewählt. Und von diesem Musical habe ich jedes Lied auswendig kennt und die Biografie von jedem Schauspieler, der jemals diese Rolle gespielt hat. Es ist mir heute noch ein bisschen peinlich, wie ich dann meine Prioritäten gesetzt habe. Und besonders cool hat es mich, glaube ich, auch nicht gemacht. Ja, heute aber lebe ich in der Musical-Metropole schlechthin. Und obwohl mein Herz mittlerweile hauptsächlich für Sprechtheater schlägt, ich wollte ja eigentlich Schauspielerin werden. Und nicht Pfarrerin, aber dann ist das Theologiestudium dazwischen gekommen. Ja, trotz meinem Liebe für Sprechtheater gehe ich hin und wieder gern in so ein kitschiges Musical. Und Kiel ist ja wirklich gerade um die Ecke der West End Theaterwelt. Im Februar, kurz vor der Schliessung von allen Theatern wegen dem Coronavirus, bin ich mit zwei Freundinnen, zwei Theologiestudentinnen aus Heidelberg, noch «The Prince of Egypt» schauen. Das ist ein epochales Musical über den Moses, das das Volk Israel aus Ägypten führt. Und dann eines meiner allerletzten Erlebnisse. Gerade ein paar Tage vor dem Lockdown bin ich nochmal in ein Musical gegangen, und zwar aber vom ganz anderen Spektrum von Musicals, in so einem Alternativ-Theater. Das war in einem Kellergewölbe unter dem Waterloo-Bahnhof als Teil eines Musical-Festivals. Und ich bin an das Musical gegangen, weil die Theatergruppe bei uns an der Kirche hat geprobt hatte und uns Billett gegeben. In diesem Musical ist es um eine Familie gegangen, die mit der Krebsdiagnose der Mutter hat leben lernen und umgehen. Und als Zuschauerin haben wir die Möglichkeit gehabt, den Verlauf von dem Stück zu bestimmen, indem er abstimmen konnte, wie es weitergehen soll. Musical hat mich nie so richtig verloren. Und darum freut es mich natürlich besonders heute, dass ich mit einer Musical-Autorin reden kann. Im Anschluss des Gesprächs hört man einen Song, den Emily Rose selber geschrieben und aufgenommen hat und der von ihrer Mutter erzählt. Ihre Mutter, die nie gern mit der U-Bahn ins Stadtzentrum ist gefahren, aber die Reise dann eines Tages doch auf sich genommen hat. Und zwar aus einem ganz speziellen Grund.
I'm with Emily Rose Simons, who is the venue manager at the Swiss Church. And Emily Rose has actually a lot of fascinating aspects to her and who she is as a person. And the first thing I think listeners would be probably quite fascinated about is that you actually grew up in London. I don't know many people who grew up in London, and I think most people somehow immigrated to London, but you were born and raised in the city.
So, yes, I grew up in London, but my mum immigrated from Scotland, and I'm about third or fourth generation. I think my ancestors are from Romania and Poland, France, Germany, pretty much all over Europe, and they kind of came over to London eventually. But growing up in London, I think, to be fair, is that. Which is very cool.
So, because growing up in London is hard to imagine, although I now have a child who will grow up in London, which I find hard to imagine, but I guess you just do. Obviously, you can't really compare it because that's the only childhood you had growing up in London. But if you try to imagine like how maybe that could differ from other childhoods, what is different about growing up in London?
So, London, to be fair, is very vast. It's Greater London. So it's not like Manhattan where everything is on top of one another. Like, I couldn't imagine bringing up a family in Manhattan. Whereas in London, you have the different zones, you have the different boroughs, and apart from very central London, which no one really lives in, the absolute centre, it's kind of suburbia. You have suburbia even as far as, like, Zone 2 and Zone 3, you can have a house with a garden. I mean, you'd probably be a millionaire. But, like, so I grew up in London, but I grew up in Zone 6. It's now Zone 5, but don't kid yourself. High Barnet is Zone 6. It was the end of the Northern Line. And where I lived, it was, like, half an hour walk away from the tube station. There's red buses going from the top of the road. There were also horses. Someone kept chickens and a cockerel that woke us up every morning. So it was very much like London meets Hertfordshire, meets countryside. And a lot of people who grow up in London live in that kind of area.
So you're not actually kind of going into town every day. It's not like a Covent Garden, Piccadilly Circus life each day of your life. Or how often as a child would you travel into central London?
It wasn't very often at all. We'd actually say it's like going into town. Oh, I'm going into town. And it's actually a bit of an adventure. Growing up in London probably means that your parents are going to be quite insular. And you're not going to be left to your own devices to go here, there and everywhere because it can be a little bit dangerous. You know, I'd go to ballet lessons at a church in Mill Hill. I went to the same dance school as Cecile's daughter.
Oh, we have to explain who Cecile is. Cecile is a trustee of the church, and she's also the catering manager, and she's really the person who knows everyone, and she's connected to everyone, and she's really very much the heart of the church. Not only her, the whole congregation, but everyone knows Cecile, and Cecile knows everyone. So just to explain to our listeners, I think most people at the Swiss Church know who Cecile is when we talk about Cecile, but so now just to explain that as well. So you went to the same ballet classes or the same ballet school as her daughter?
Yeah.
That is very rare in London, isn't it? It's also very rare that you see someone or meet someone in the street by accident that you know.
I mean, to be fair, London it's very neighbourhoodly. So you kind of stick in your neighbourhood. So for me, it was like my childhood was Barnet, Mill Hill, Edgware, Bournemouth, technically, I think it's Greater London, it's really Hertfordshire. So that was my life. And then I'd go into central London. as a child, it would be for choir concerts. I was in a children's choir called Finchley Children's Music Group, and we sang in the proms, we sang at the festival hall quite often. So for me, the only time I ever came into London before I was a teenager would just be the festival hall. I could only know how to get to the festival hall and back, and the rest of London was like a question mark to me.
Right. So was that also the most exciting thing for you about London? The concerts and the choir concerts, or what was the most exciting thing?
I think as a child it was the concerts. I think that's because it's the only thing I was allowed to do as a child. We didn't go to the theatre or anything that much, and we didn't go to that many concerts. I remember being in primary school and this girl said, "I went to the theatre last night," and I thought, wow, her family must be like super rich, at, like going to the theatre, just to go to the theatre. Because it did seem like the top of my road, I can see London from the top of my road. I can go to the end of the driveway and look down and we can see Canary Wharf. But it also, it's both you can see it and it also feels so far away at the same time. And it felt like a big, dangerous adventure. For me as a teenager, it was going to Covent Garden. I had a friend who was very into beautiful things. So we'd go to Covent Garden and I think we once had tea in Harrods and that sort of thing. She liked very beautiful things like that. But that was my only outings. Whereas I had friends who were more normal. Because my life was, as a child, I think this is very London as well, it was ballet classes, music classes, choir, orchestra. I didn't have much time to just socialize with friends. I didn't really know what people did. And when I was about 16, 17, I went to a different school. And there was a girl who was like, yeah, just come over at the weekend. And then we went to a park and we drank alcohol in a park.
And that was like a big thing.
It was a big thing. I never did it again because it was just the worst.
Choir and ballet and theatre. But to be fair, also that like then led you to your career, and that's the next exciting thing about you. Is, I mean, you didn't only grow up in London, you became a musical writer. And now, I mean, musical writer, that's West End, Phantom of the Opera, Les Miserables, Limelight, famous actors. Is that what your life is?
Oh, God, no. My life is sitting alone in my living room, just staring at my computer. Most of the time, that is my life. And every now and again, I might have like a workshop or a rehearsal or even like maybe a little production here and there. And then I get to be in the rehearsal room. And as the writer, you don't really have anything to do in the rehearsal room because you've done your work. You've done your like 6 months, your 2 years or whatever of work to get to the point of being in the rehearsal room. And that's your point where you're meant to just like be quiet and not do anything. And for me, it's like, oh my gosh, I get to leave my living room.
So you actually sit at home and you write music, you write storylines, you create what then might become a musical later. And where are these musicals shown?
Good question. So I am what they call an emerging artist, or I think I'm something like an early mid-career artist now, which basically means that I could be making up and you'd never know. So I've had workshops of musicals, and I have had a couple of small productions. The smaller the musical I write, the more likely it is to get a production. So my one-woman musical had loads of productions.
And that's done on the stage, in TV, or how does that work?
That one, it was the first one I wrote. And I knew I wanted to write a musical, and I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know anyone else who wrote musicals. So I wrote one and I performed it and I produced it and I accompanied myself with little demos of the piano that I recorded. And I taught that loads of places all over the UK. I performed it in people's living rooms. I performed it in a falafel shop in Bristol. I performed it in a student union in St. Andrews University. And then the last performance of it was at JW3. But I also took it to...
Which is?
Oh, JW3 is a Jewish community centre. The musical is called Confessions of a Rabbi's Daughter. And it's on... It's on different platforms on the internet.
I think you have a web page.
I do. It's called songsofemilyrose.com.
Songsofemilyrose.com.
Yeah.
You will also find that in the description. So if you want to hear Emily Rose's writing, musical writing. And I think what is really interesting to hear from you is that it's not just musical. It's not just about the glitzy lights that tourists see when they come here. But there's so many fringe theatres, there's so many writers, so many creative people in London who, like you, show things on smaller stages, in falafel shops, in community centres, and perhaps one day, and I hope that for you very much, on one of the big West End stages. And... I think it's also important to say that the whole coronavirus and the lockdown and social distancing is a huge risk to the theatre scene. And the future is really a big question mark at the moment. And I think especially also for smaller theatres. Mm. So we're trying to support that at the Swiss Church as well with our programme of giving the Swiss Church as a space for rehearsal, for exhibitions, to play our part, hopefully. So you work for a church as venue manager, so you coordinate the calendar, you are the face of the church, you set up the contracts with clients who hire the church, you make sure there's always enough toilet paper and that everyone is welcomed friendly here, just coordinating the use of the building. Now, you grew up in a Jewish community, so you understand religious community. How does that impact on your role as venue manager, and how important do you think that is?
I think it informs what I feel is important for a community, and also I take the religious aspects very seriously. I think the biggest example was at Christmas, where I was pretty much militant about the Christmas tree and the nativity scene, and no one is allowed to touch it. And
that, I remember that you were a fierce defender of the Christmas tree and nativity scene, Krippe auf Schweizerdeutsch, because some of our clients, they said, oh, hang on, but we thought we could use the whole building and wanted us to get rid of the Christmas tree and the nativity scene. And you were a very fierce defender, said, this is a church. If you rent the church at Christmas time, you will have a tree and you will have a nativity scene.
Yeah. I was like, Christians get one festival
a week. We've got Easter as well.
Yeah, we've got Easter as well. But I was like...
And some other bits and bobs here and there.
But I feel like, geez, we get loads of festivals all the time. You can't swing a stick without hitting a festival. But with Christians, I'm like, this is their time. You do not move the Christ. And also, I think what informs me is I want the congregation to feel like it's their building, because it is their building. And when it came to the Christmas tree, even though it's the first Christmas tree that I've ever bought, and I felt very proud about that, I didn't decorate it. I decorated boxes and put the decorations in the boxes so that the congregation could decorate their own tree, which also meant that I felt even more precious about it. Because if I was like, oh yeah, I'll decorate the tree, it wouldn't have meant so much like, oh yeah, and then I'll move the tree. But then I was like, it's their tree. Someone put that bauble on that tree. I'm not moving anything. So I think that definitely informs how I see the role as venue manager. And I think also what informs the role is my like arts background as well. And I think also the idea of what is an art space that meets a community space, which is very exciting. And also the other aspect that I think about being Jewish that informs how I see the Swiss church is that the Jewish people are immigrants. We are always like first, second, third generation immigrants from somewhere. And I think that informs how important our communities are, is that it is a space where you get to express who you are in a way that you don't always get to outside. So it is very important for us to have the German speaking, the French speaking, the mothers groups, the coffee mornings and for people to be Swiss in a space, and for it to feel like it is their space to be Swiss. Because I do think it is different. Like, we'll have a Swiss group meet up in a cafe, in an English cafe, whereas this is their home.
Mm-hmm. Another question, short answer, okay. What do you tell people about the Swiss church who have never heard of it before?
I say it's a church and arts venue in Covent Garden, and then I take out my phone and I show them loads of pictures as if it was my child, and then by that point they usually walk away.
It's what I do as well. Yeah. Very often at parties, this is showing our absolutely amazing space. It's so beautiful, the modern renovation with the old features of the church. So, yeah.
And also the light makes anything that anyone can do in the church looks like a piece of art.
And what do you like most about your job?
I like the chaotic moments, even though we should not have chaos and everything. But I like the moments where loads of things come together at once make me feel really excited. And it's very London as well when we have those moments. Whether it's like the crossover between an art exhibition, the breakfast on the steps, and then a meeting going on upstairs and another meeting happening. There was one time we had a big exhibition happening in the evening in the hall, and we had what we call a full house if everyone in the office is in, and also a meeting was happening in the meeting room, and there was a rehearsal going on in the gallery room, and then one of my directors turned up for a meeting with me. And I like inviting my collaborators to come and meet me in the church, because I'm just like, look at it, it's so beautiful, use it for something.
So you like the buzz and the chaos management.
Yeah, and like the fact that the only place in the church that was available for me to have my little meeting was the organ loft.
Well, it's one of the best spots. The view is amazing.
It was really nice. And it was also useful for the client, because if they had any questions, they could just call to me. I feel like I should probably work up there more often.
And I think it's also good to say that we have events like London Fashion Week sometimes here, when they have like exclusive views of the whole building for a few days to put up a big fashion show. But we also have dance classes, choirs, meditation classes. What else? And then our own community events, like the homeless breakfast, the church groups, church services. So it's really a really big range, and sometimes really worlds coming together. Yeah. And we have a big fashion show, and at the same time we run the breakfast on the steps for the homeless people whilst they're setting up their event for the day. So it's all coming together, and I think with you we have really a great person, because you are good at chaos managing and remain friendly and patient and kind of get the buzz out of it. And I think you probably, well, the right person for this crucial role. Yeah, so thank you very much for sharing also something about yourself and your growing up and your private life. Come and see the Swiss Church. And if you ever pop in at 79 Endell Street in London, the person you will probably see first is Emily Rose.
Hi.
My mum is scared of going into London. She doesn't like the people. My mum is scared of going beyond High Barnet. She doesn't know the roads. She gets anxious and angry if she has to drive into Muswell Hill. Watford, Cricklewood and Stanmore are worse even still. So someone has to take her if there's somewhere she would like to be, but she'd rather stay at home, work on the accounts and watch TV. My mum is scared of the underground. She doesn't like the noises. My mum is scared of ticket barriers and using an Oyster card. She gets upset and quiet standing near a stranger. Swiss Army knife in a handbag in case she gets in danger. So someone has to take her if there's somewhere she would like to be, but she'd rather stay at home, work on the accounts and watch TV. But when I told my mum my song will be performed in the West End, I told her because I wanted her to know. My dad and brothers were away and I live in New York. So I didn't want to ask her because I knew she wouldn't go. And I didn't want my mum to feel guilty. My mum hates Hibernian Station, but she went there on her own. My mum hates the Northern Line, but she travelled down all on her own. She was happy and proud to hear my song on a West End stage. Even more excited to see Elaine Page. She must have been so scared. She must have been so scared. But she went there all on her own. She went there all on her own just to hear my song.
In der nächsten Episode ist der Strassenfotograf und Siegerist der Schweizer Kirche, der Andy Pulfermans, Gast. Mit ihm habe ich mich in einem Pub getroffen, in unserem Lieblingspub in der Endell Street, dort wo die Kirche ist. Und er hat mir erzählt, was der Glaube in seinen 30 Jahren als obdachloser Mann für eine Rolle gespielt hat. Wieso er sich halb als Schweizer fühlt, obwohl er noch nie dort war, und was man ihm aus der Schweiz statt Schocke gescheiter mitbringt. Wir, liebe Podcast-Community, dürfen dir aber gerne weiterhin Schocke mitbringen. Am liebsten Lindt-Nuss, Ofi-Schocke oder Sprüngli-Praline, wenn es ein bisschen teurer darf sein. Hört rein und bis zum nächsten Mal. RevLab.